ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So 1837. Okay, so the chapter is entitled The Perfection of Renunciation. So text 37, please repeat. Yad Tad Agne Visham Iva Parinami Ritu Kamam Tat Shukam Satvikam Proktam Atma Udhi Prasada Tam Tat, sorry, Yatat Adve Visham Iva Yatat Adve Visham Iva Pariname Ritupamam Pariname Ritupanam Pariname Ritupamam Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam Atma Buddhi Prasadajam
Atma Buddhi Prasadajam
Atma Buddhi Prasadajam Yatad Agre Visham Iva
Yatad Agre Visham Iva
Pariname Vitopanam
Pariname Vitopanam
Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam
Tatsukam Satvikam
Atma Buddhi Prasadajam
Atma Buddhi Prasadajam
Yatat Agre Visham Iva
Yatat Agre Visham Iva
Pariname Mitopamam
Pariname Mitopamam
Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam
Tatsukam Satvikam Proktam
Atma Buddhi Prasadajam
Atma Buddhi Prasadajam
Christian
Yatat Agre
Hari Name Vitopamam
Yattat agre visham eva. Parinami lokam. Asvanasatikam prokam. Anna buddhi prasadakam. Yattat agre visham eva. Parinami lokam. Satsangam satvikam prasam. Atma buddhi prasadakam. Please repeat.
Yad, which.
Tat, that.
Agre, in the beginning.
Visham eva.
Like poison.
Pariname.
At the end.
Amrita.
Nectar.
Upamam.
Compared to.
Tat, that. Sukham,
happiness.
Satvikam,
in the mode of
goodness.
Proktam,
is said.
Atma,
in the self.
Buddhi,
of intelligence.
Prasadam,
born of the satisfaction.
Translation, Christ Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupada.
That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Please repeat.
That which in the beginning
may be just like poison,
But at the end,
is just like nectar,
and which awakens
one to self-realization,
is said to be happiness
in the mode of goodness.
Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila
Prabhupada. In the pursuit of self-realization,
purport doesn't have to be repeated, don't worry about it.
I like your enthusiasm, but that this one is for on me. So let me do that.
In the pursuit of self-realization, one has to follow many rules and regulations to control the mind and the senses and to concentrate the mind on the self. All these procedures are very difficult, bitter like poison. But if one is successful in following the regulations and comes to the transcendental position, he begins to drink real nectar and he enjoys life. I'm going to request that the body stop talking in here. Okay. Obviously quite a few of you are arguing that. Unless you're translating to somebody who doesn't understand English, that's definitely understandable. But other than that, it's best to listen up. Okay. So, Oma Gina Timidanjasya Gyana Gina Shalakaya Chakshu Amulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Kutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Gita Padakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sicha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sadhana Raghunatam Vitam Tamsajitam Sadvaitam, Sahabadutam, Paritana, Saitam, Krishna, Chaitanya, Deva. Sri Radha, Krishna, Pada, Sadhana, Nidita, Sri Vishakam, Vitam, Sita. He Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagat Pate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namastate. Tapta Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavane, Chani, Vishabhanu, Sita, Devi, Panamami, Hari. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sunyaiva cha pratitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vidyasa Swami Yitulamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadi Sacharini Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gura Chise Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himabhya Divraksha Vishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Rasa Padaya Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandaya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So I'll read the translation again. It doesn't have to be repeated. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Hare Krishna. So, before we begin anything, I'd like to, apart from the prayers that said, also beg permission from you and my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami, His spiritual master, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada, to use me to tell you what they want you to know. So, in this particular text, which is in chapter 18, The Perfection of Renunciation, Sri Krishna is describing the mode of goodness, mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. This is the general area. And he's describing different activities in the three modes. So this particular text is about happiness. So there is happiness in the mode of goodness, which is what this text talks about. And then the other text too will be talking about in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. If you can imagine happiness in the mode of ignorance, but that also happens. But this, Sri Krishna is saying that which in the beginning may be just like poison. It's difficult to take. It seems to give you problems. But if you keep going on with it, then at the end, it's like nectar. It becomes sweet. And it also awakens one to self-realization. So he's not talking about just anything. He's talking about that thing that awakens one to self-realization. That is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So in this translation here, in this text, Sri Krishna is admitting that the process by which one awakens to self-realization initially seems like it's bitter. Initially, it seems like it's difficult. And we're saying initially it seems like it's difficult. It's never been difficult for the pure guru. They see difficulties, yes, there are difficulties, but they know the goal, so they keep going. They don't allow difficulties to bother them. In fact, for pure devotees, the difficulties are welcome because they like to strive for Krishna. So their mentality is different. Those of us who are conditioned souls, we like sense gratification. Therefore, if anything is a little bit more painful for us to go through, we kind of want to stop. We don't like too many things that are difficult. But Krishna says, if we persist, if we keep going, then if it's for self-realization, at the end, it is going to be like nectar. Krishna consciousness is like that. The aim is Krishna Prema. We're supposed to learn to love Krishna. How do we start? Well, we have to hear Shastra, but then if you're in Kali Yuga, you've already heard it in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we are told we're supposed to chant attentively. Well, how many times does that happen? We chant, those of us that want to chant, there are people who even Maya is fighting them, not trying, or getting them to try not to chant. But even those who chant, in the mind, you know, if you have one like me, so I'm obviously admitting it, the mind goes different places. It goes different places. But we know we're supposed to chant with attention. So initially, it's difficult. Now, when our heart, or quite specifically, when our soul awakens more, and that comes later, sometimes much, much, much later. But it does come. And then the same chanting at that time becomes very sweet. Because the open secret is Krishna's name is very sweet. Pronouncing Krishna's name is very sweet. We saw Lord Chaitanya's reaction to chanting. Many, many, many times he will go into ecstasy. The same mantra that we chant, he chants, and he's falling on the floor or on the ground, depending on where he is, and he's rolling, and people are they're disturbed that he might hurt himself. He's roaring. The same Hare Krishna mantra that we chant. So at his level, it's already nectar for him. We haven't got there yet. But we have to persist, because Krishna is saying happiness in the mode of goodness is to accept the fact that in the beginning the process of Krishna consciousness is difficult to kind of keep up. Now, so how do we keep up if it's difficult? If you are the judge, jury, and everything, that means you're by yourself. That's what it means, judge, jury. You decide everything by yourself, and you're by yourself trying to chant. You won't get anywhere. It's important to associate with those who are also doing the same thing. So you have faith in Krishna, I have faith in Krishna, but I also have to associate with those who have faith in Krishna and who are chanting. This is why it says so many times that we should congregate and chant the holy name Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, in the association of devotees. The fun starts that way, when other devotees are chanting and you're also chanting. It's easy to be happy then in the chanting of the holy name. So even in japa, as much as you can, if you chant with someone else, it goes a lot more easily. If you chant at the time around 5:15 after Mangalarti and devotees are in the temple and they chant, I'm talking about regular temple, you see others chanting up and down, they're walking, some people are just standing one place, some people are around to the Prabhupada's mercy, some people are looking at the deity pictures. Usually that time the altar is closed because they're dressing the deities, but the deity pictures are there. And if you're chanting that way, you can go through 16 rounds of everything just like that. Not that you do it in a split second, but you go through 16 rounds without much effort. Without much effort. We've seen this, some of us have done it over and over and over again at the time we're living in the dhams, different dhams. So, the relief that comes from the bitterness or the difficulty initially, is the relief is from associating with the devotees. If you associate with the devotees, it's easier. If you're by yourself and you're chanting, it is a very, very good idea to have Srila Prabhupada's japa playing, so that it's not just you. He's a pure devotee. When he chants, so you hear the recording of his chanting, but that's him all right chanting. The atmosphere is purified just by his chanting, because he's just that pure a personality. And so if you chant along with him, it also makes the process go a little more easy. Easier to go. So by doing that over a period of time, then we also open our hearts in our service. It goes together. The chanting helps us to serve more sincerely. And serving more sincerely helps us to chant better. Both of them help each other. Okay, both of them assist us. I shouldn't say they help each other, but they assist us to actually improve and be better devotees. So initially, even if you don't have a taste for chanting, chant anyway. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has said that Krishna has put all his energies, invested all his energies in his holy name. So even if our minds are not pure yet, and that's practically all of us, except a few devotees who will be pure hiding among us, I'm certainly not one of them. Just by chanting the holy name, because the name is powerful, connecting with that improves our consciousness and improves our willingness to serve more sincerely. And that way we grow. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, every time he talks about this, he would say it is a gradual process. So here in America, we want everything done yesterday. Everything is done faster. I buy a better computer because it's not better. It just has a faster processor. It does things a little more quickly. Therefore, I like that one. Everything has to be done quickly. You look on the highway, everybody is running so fast. Where are we going? So, that mentality has been put to us. But that's material mentality. In spiritual mentality, here, Srila Prabhupada is saying, he's a Jagat Guru, he knows, he's saying the gradual process. I remember one time, I was listening to a lecture by Sri Radha Maharaj. He finished the lecture, he came to the questions section. And one devotee got up and asked the question. And again, I'm just hearing the audio recording of it. So one devotee is asking, I don't feel that I'm growing in Krishna consciousness even though I've been chanting for quite a few years. Maharaj, what should I do? The first way in which Radha Maharaj answered him was actually to ask him a question. He said, how long have you been chanting? And the devotee says, 15 years. And Maharaj said, keep going. That was his answer. That was it. Keep going. So he says, keep chanting. Srila Prabhupada was asked, what do you gain out of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? Srila Prabhupada answered, the result of chanting Hare Krishna mantra, anybody knows? Okay, I'll answer it. The result of chanting Hare Krishna mantra is to keep chanting Hare Krishna mantra. There is no end to it. So 15 years doesn't mean anything. You have connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead 15 years. Lucky you. Keep going. 10 still more. Connect 16 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Your Baba disciples have been chanting for 40 years. Have they got to the end? No, they are at the beginning. They still chant. The Holy Name gives us growth and more realization. The more you chant and the more you attempt to pay attention when you're chanting, the better off you are. Because Krishna says, the extent to which we surrender to him, he rewards accordingly. Surrender has to do with everything that we do in Bhakti Yoga. If we do it more sincerely, we taste more and more the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, again, about chanting, Srila Prabhupada was asked, but what about those of us, and this is practically all of us that we're saying, when we chant, our mind roams around to this and that and so on. So how are we going to be able to chant attentively? Srila Prabhupada answered it very simply. If you make the effort to bring the mind back to the holy name, that alone is improvement. So in many ways, he's saying, don't worry that the mind goes, but make the effort to bring it to the holy name. Now, there are things, sometimes japa workshops have been given. There are many ways in which you can keep the brain more the only name when you're chanting. If you have the deity or the picture of a deity in front of you, if you have the Hare Krishna Mahamantra written on a piece of paper and you're looking at it, in other words, the more you engage your senses directly or indirectly in the holy name, the more your attention becomes better in the chanting. So you definitely can do that. You can look at the picture of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, Radha Krishna Deity, Singhadev Deity, whichever one that you like. Or the words that Hare Krishna Mahamantra written on a piece of paper. As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada even said, if you're on the beach and you want to chant, you can write the Hare Krishna Mahamantra on the sand and look at it and chant. He said, the highest though is to be able to chant with the image of Radha Krishna in your mind and then chanting without anything else. If you really can focus the Radha and Krishna in your mind while you chant, that is in fact the highest prize. That means you can do that anyway without any kind of other aid. Okay. So that which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is like nectar, and awakens us to self-realization, especially in this particular yuga, Kali Yuga, is the chanting, the Nam Sankirtan, chanting. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalao Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Katriyanyata. In this age, this fallen age of the Iron Age, there is no other way than to chant and chant and chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the purpose, the Papa says, to pursue self-realization, one has to follow many rules and regulations to control the mind and the senses and concentrate the mind on the self. This is a very, very important statement. One has to follow many rules and regulations. The idea is to control the mind. See, when the mind goes all kinds of different ways, then we are living a full material life. Material life, the mind tries to just satisfy the senses and do all kinds of things for sense gratification. But that is what animals also do. The human body is meant for controlling the senses, not giving in to the senses. Now, sometimes we find ourselves even trying to control the senses that we're just repressing, but the desires are still there. When we keep serving sincerely and when we keep chanting with greater attention, then Krishna will give us means or ways to be able to actually get rid of the desires. So then now it becomes really possible to control the senses in whichever way that initially the senses bother us, just getting to some sense gratification activity. So Srila Prabhupada says it's bitter in the beginning, it's like poison. But if one is successful in following the regulations and comes to a transcendental position, he begins to drink real nectar and he enjoys life. So how does that happen? Beginning to drink real nectar, the holy name becomes very sweet to pronounce. Happiness now comes from the soul, happiness from the heart, not happiness from outside. And it's not even a situation where you have to just be totally, totally immersed in that type of nectar. Just to get a sense of it, just a little bit of it, is very, very, very satisfying and very purifying. Because as soon as you begin to feel happiness from your soul, and now you realize that things around you aren't so important, you begin to detach from material sense gratification, detach from it, not bother so much with it. Things that you used to think about, now you don't think about so much. Things that you used to do, now you don't do so much of it. And you're more interested in hearing about the pastimes of Krishna, and more interested in chanting the holy name, and most of the time, if not all the time, you're thinking about Krishna, then you begin to feel Krishna will reveal He opens in your heart, which means actually in the soul, because the soul is an heart area. Tremendous satisfaction. And from that, you begin to realize, yes, we are in the material world. Yes, all kinds of things happen around us. But it doesn't bother us so much now. That is a sign that the person is growing. Another sign that the person is growing is that particular devotee is very careful not to offend other devotees. In everything that we do, if we stay away, everything that we do, we try very hard to stay away from being an offensive person. Then that will also help our process of bhakti, bhakti kripa, to grow. Srila Bhaktivedanta Maharaj one time mentioned that, and that's my Guru Maharaj, mentioned that the way in which you can tell a devotee that's advancing is, or advancing either way, is that that devotee is very careful not to offend devotees, not to offend anybody. So then what's offense? Well, the common ones are gossiping about devotees, criticizing devotees, and getting angry with devotees. Those are the common ones. Getting angry with devotees. We do all that means. So we stop getting angry with devotees. Stop criticizing devotees. That is finding fault with devotees. And stop gossiping about devotees. The more gossiping we do, we're really telling ourselves that our false ego is huge. In other words, we know better. Because gossiping always starts, this devotee, this, and it's all bad. Which means I know that it's bad, therefore I am better than that person because I know how to do things better. But let's just say the worst case scenario. Suppose what you've gossiped about is all true. All of it is true. Still, Krishna will get upset with you. Why? Well, I'll tell you a story about that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a vision. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in the vision, he was in Yamaraj's abode. He went to visit Yamaraj. So Yamaraj, Lord Brahma, and Narada Muni, this is in his vision, all three of them were discussing a topic when he, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, came. And so as soon as they saw him in his vision, they invited him to join the discussion. So obviously he had to know what the discussion was about. Now Yamaraj, being who he is, you know what he does. He does the punishment part. And his point was, so if a devotee has been really bad, doing all kinds of negative things, why shouldn't I punish him? He deserves punishment. Why is it that I can't get Yamaludas to go get a devotee that's done bad things and bring him here and punish him? And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur arrived, that's what they put to him. He said, this is the discussion that we're having. What is your opinion? And they allowed Bhaktivinoda Thakur to explain the reason why a devotee will not go through that type of punishment in Yamaraj that non-devotees go through is that devotee is serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. He's doing some service. Just because he's doing that service, that devotee is dear to Krishna. Remember, non-devotees don't do any service now. So it doesn't matter how bad the devotee is. The devotee is doing service to Krishna, therefore he is dear to Krishna. And because he is dear to Krishna, you can't touch him. That was the point he was making. He is dear to Krishna. So Krishna is the reason you can't touch him. This person has decided to serve Krishna, and we're serving Krishna. And if Krishna says, this person that does service is dear to me, how can you go after him? You can't. Therefore, we also should not go after devotees, getting angry with them, criticizing them, finding fault, gossiping about them. Again, Radharani doesn't like that at all. And if Radharani is the mother of devotion, and if he gets angry, Krishna will not save you. So we have to be very, very careful. Offenses to devotees, Sri Prabhupada says, aparad is like a mad elephant. So your creeper, it's like a nice garden. You've been chanting, you're watering the roots. And now a parad comes in. It's like a mad elephant. You know how big those things are. Walk right in the garden and ruin everything. everything is ruined. In other words, everything means when we are chanting at least 16 rounds of japa every day, when we are obeying all four regulative principles, we are chanting and obeying regulative principles. Well, if we become offensive, it all doesn't matter. It all doesn't matter. All of them doesn't matter. Just for being offensive. Srila Prabhupada says, it's like a mad elephant situation. Obviously, if you chant your rounds, obviously, if you obey regulative principles, it amounts to or is analogous to having a very nice devotional garden. And then you get this elephant coming in because of aparadha. It runs everything down. In other words, an offensive person does not go back to the spiritual world. It's that bad. It's that bad. So don't put in so much effort just to turn around and ruin it with offenses. So then what do? People do get upset with people. Sometimes people will push your buttons. What do? Some of the things you can do, we'll mention a few things. If you need to talk to that person, you have to be very careful about the words that you choose. I got in a situation in Giranagri when Mother Kalini, who was a senior Bodhi Prabhupada disciple, got upset with me. So he had to tell me some things based on him, and I could tell she was upset. Mother Kalini took a deep breath and started explaining things. Rather than saying, you did this, that, and you did that, and you did that, she explained things that I was supposed to do, the right things to do. She went that way. She explained the right things. And then she ended by saying, it will be good for you to keep this in mind. And that's how she ended it. So she told me what to do. Clearly, obviously, what she said to do was opposite of what I had done. So I knew I had done wrong. But she explained the right thing. And then she said, make sure you keep it in mind. And that's it. No offense, nothing. No insulting word, nothing. Balabhadra Prabhu, another Prabhupada disciple, takes care of a cows. It's cow protection. One time he came to Giranagri. He was sitting with my godmother Saracha. Saracha had the duty of taking care of the cows at Giranagri. So Balabhadra Prabhu was giving him some more advice on how to take care of cows. Apparently, quite a few things, and these guys are from the city, you know, they don't know anything about the village life and taking care of cows. So they made a lot of mistakes. And clearly, if you make a mistake, it affects the cows. So Balabhadra Prabhu came to give advice. So he put it this way. I happened to be sitting right next to them. It was a lecture going on, but when it was, Bhaktivinoda Maharaj was getting ready to start a lecture, and before that, Balabhadra Prabhu was talking to Saracha, and I was like the next person sitting next to them, so I couldn't overhear them. So this is how Balabhadra Prabhu put it. If you do this, if you do that, if you do that to the cows, if you do this to the cows, then he says, there is concern. He kept using the word concern. He never said it's bad. He just said, he used the word concern, which is a milder word, but he was actually making the same point, though, about what Saracha should do and not do. So he was listing, and he kept using the word concern. I said to myself, I better learn how to speak like that, because he's getting his point across, but he's not offending him. He's not offending Saracha at all. So there are words to use like that, mild words, and that still make the point. Now, if you really are upset that if you open your mouth, you know you're going to start using very, very strong, bad language, that's not the time to speak. That's the time to walk away. Get somebody else. If after days you haven't calmed down, or especially if you know, if you try to talk to the person, he's not going to listen to you. There are people like that. And their relationship, you know, they take you for granted, so they won't listen to you. You're going to have to find somebody senior or somebody that they trust and listen to, and you'll tell your story to that person and have that person come talk to the other person. It's all about doing it in such a way that you don't offend. It's all about doing it in such a way that you don't offend. Now, we should never be too big to apologize. If somebody explains something to us that they think that we've done that's not right, we should listen. And we should in fact apologize.
Especially when the person is upset. The worst time, it is the worst time to try to explain yourself.
When the person is upset with you, just apologize and stop there. They are angry. My mom called anger is temporary insanity. The person is not ready to listen then. So you're thinking, oh, but I know I did it this way. He just doesn't understand. So if I explain to him, maybe he'll get it. He's already upset with you. That's not the time at all to speak. That's the time to apologize and step back. Because the apology most likely will calm that person down. Then at another time, when he's calm, then you make your point. Without using any words that are offensive. You make your point. So really, aparad stops a lot of devotees' growth. It happens that so many times. It's been said so many, many, many times. Matter of fact, I'll say one more thing about Bhakti Maharaj. When we were offending each other as devotees, that's when he screamed at us the most. When we are having the darshan, he's preaching to his disciples, he'll tell us so many things that we have to do, so many things that's expected of us. But when he raises his voice, it's most of the time because we are offensive to each other. That's when he raises his voice. And I remember what he says. He raises his voice and he says, "You're all neophytes." He literally blasts us. Because aparad will never make you grow from a neophyte position. You never get off a neophyte position if you're an aparadi. You will never grow. You will never have the sweet taste of the holy name, no matter how many times you say it. Because it's aparad that's stopping it. So aparad is something, aparad is offenses. We have to be very, very, very careful not to commit offenses to each other. Krishna treats every devotee as special because they're doing bhakti yoga. And so, since Krishna says, the person doing bhakti yoga is dear to me, you have no business offending that person. You find a milder way to say things, or you don't say, if you're too upset, it has to be done another time, or by another person. And that's the way it is. Okay. So, anyway, there are some of us, this is from a few notes that I took from Narada Maharaj's lecture. So, at the beginning, we have to follow the regulatory principles. We also have to chant until we are able to chant at least 16 rounds. This is a very important statement, chanting japa to chant at least 16 rounds. We should not forget that a Vaishnava, devotee of the Lord, is supposed to chant 64 rounds daily. That's what the standard is. A devotee chants almost 5 hours of japa. 64 rounds. Srila Prabhupada has gotten permission from Krishna. First, he lowered it to 32 rounds because the devotees were complaining they can't keep up the service and then chanting that many rounds also. He got it to 32, they still were having difficulty, then he said 16 rounds. Minimum 16 rounds. Not less than that. So we are already chanting one quarter of what the devotee is supposed to do. So if we start at the beginning, there is no rule that says a person that's beginning to chant should chant 16 rounds right away. Of course, if that's what you want to do, that's wonderful. But you have to keep going until you get to 16 rounds. So whatever number of rounds you're chanting now, chant till the end of the month that number. And in July, go up one more. One more round. That takes about 5, 7, 8 more minutes to what you do. You can adjust the time more easily that way. The whole of July, chant like that. August, add one more. September, add one more. So every time you're giving yourself about 30 or 31 days to repeat it until you can adjust to your time and everything, chanting those number of rounds. And it's only a matter of time. That lucky month will come when you can get to 16. One by one like that, you get to 16. And you realize it's not so hard to do. It is in fact possible. So if you're thinking, how am I going to have time to do all of that? Remember, Krishna is time. So if you decide to put in that number of rounds, increasing it monthly by one until you get to 16 rounds, at the time you get to 16 rounds, you're going to be able to do whatever you're supposed to do that day, chanting 16 rounds also. Because Krishna can adjust your time to get everything done and the japa also done. It's absolutely, Krishna is the one who controls time. Not only he says he controls, he says he is time in Bhagavad Gita. So if you want to serve him, he definitely will make it possible to to do it. So we should regularly associate with sincere devotees and help them. The sincere devotees try to give Krishna consciousness to everyone that they meet, as long as people are ready to take it. Be of assistance that way. So, also, we know that there are different religions, and sometimes at work we meet or work with others who are not Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada made a statement that when he even came to America, he said, "I have not come to convert everyone to becoming a devotee or a Vaishnava." He said, "For Christians, I have come to teach them, Christians, how to be real Christians. How to be real Christians." Then he said, "What is a Christian? A Christian is one who loves God. That is a real Christian. A real Muslim is one who loves God. A real devotee is one who loves God." So then he says, the basis, the bottom line is the same. The difference is the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, they teach the most complete understanding of God. That is the difference. Therefore, if you read Bhagavad Gita, you will get to know more about God, because you will get to know the science of the soul. Religion does not teach the science of the soul. Many religions don't even know where the soul is in their body now. They don't know where. Even though they keep doing this all the time, they don't realize that when they do this, they say, "This is me," and they hit this part of the body, they're pointing to their heart, but the soul is in the heart. That's why we do it naturally like that. They don't even know that. So there is no discussion of the nature of the soul in religion. But the nature of the soul, the discussion of it, that's transcendence. Therefore, religion is not transcendental. So, he even comments, Sipapa comments, read. You can stay a Christian and read Bhagavad Gita. Of course, that's not for us. It's not for us because we are Vaishnavas. But if you meet a Christian, encourage him to read. You will learn more about the soul. Just put it that way. You will learn more about the soul. They know they don't know much about the soul. Just read the book just so you know more about your soul. You know when you die, your soul is going to heaven. You're trying to get the soul. But what is it? Where is it now? What's it like? What's it do? You don't know any of this. Nobody's taught you this. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. You just read it, you'll find out. By the time you get the second chapter, Krishna will start spilling it all out. So you know who you are, where it is, what it does, all of that. So that's reason then for them to read, if they're really interested. So, yes, it's nice to get more people to come to Krishna consciousness, but the majority of people may not do that. But if we give them the correct book to read, that's why book distribution is so important. You know, all glory to the service of those who are distributing books. They get to know more about the soul. Every book in Krishna consciousness tells you more about the soul than the religious. Every one of them. Every one of them. So it's wonderful if we're able to teach this. Now, if you're going to preach to non-devotees, it's a good idea to know a few things about their spiritual books too. Because if you know, then you can have a connection between that and Krishna consciousness. As my Guru Maharaj likes to put it, Krishna consciousness starts, it starts where religion stops. See, religion gets us to the mode of goodness. And then there's no transcendence. So Krishna consciousness starts from transcendence and on up. So that way we can, in fact, because we will in fact be relating to people who are not devotees. So for us, real intelligence is what we hear from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's real intelligence. And it also demands, it requires that we control the mind using the transcendental information that we have heard. So, we should always chant the holy name and try our level best to give the message of Krishna to others. Then Krishna will protect us. The easiest way, if a person is not ready to listen, is to give some sort of food stuff, snacks that's offered to the Lord. You give that person Krishna prasadam, they won't listen to anything, but you let them have that, it starts their journey back to Krishna. The prasadam itself will work to bless that person, to open that person's mind and heart, so that even if they don't do it this lifetime, the next lifetime, they will come back as a human. Prasadam does that also, as a human, okay, and then start the devotion, the royal path of devotion back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you for tolerating me. Are there any questions or comments? Questions, comments, correction, all of that? Okay, so I think we'll stop. Rantanashmad Bhava Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava Thakur ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hare Hare.